Frequency Cast Special Report. Startup in progress.
Hi, I'm Pete.
And this is Kelly from Frequency Cast, the UK's technology radio show.
Our shows are available online and on radio stations around the UK. The following feature is from one of our recent shows.
Hi, this is John Chalice, Boise, you may know me better as, from Only Fools and Horses. And you're listening to Frequency Cast, the UK's technology radio show, you lucky people.
Right, we were talking earlier in the show about charity fundraising stunts and all this kind of stuff. I have to say, at the moment, my favourite charity, the Air Ambulance.
I've actually seen a very bad motor accident before and been right at the front of the traffic when an air ambulance has been needed.
It's quite amazing how much money they actually need to keep them flying. And we were lucky enough to spend a little bit of time with a local air ambulance. This is the service that covers Hertfordshire and Essex. And we spent a little bit of time up at their airbase, which was absolutely fascinating.
Captain Nicky Smith, I'm the pilot of the Essex Air Ambulance.
So you're in charge of flying this. How many days a week, on average, are you on standby, ready to fly?
Well, we've got three pilots flying the two helicopters, the Essex and the Hearts helicopters. So we end up doing around about four shifts a week. We work 7 days a week in a fairly irregular shift pattern, so you can be working all sorts of days, odd days here and there.
Once you've got the call to scramble, what kind of information are you given from a pilot's perspective to give you a feel for what to expect?
I only need one piece of information, and that's where we're going. The way that the information comes in from our control desk is in a very strict order, and the first piece of information will be the nearest town or large village. I'll then go straight out to the helicopter and get the helicopter started up. What that enables me to do is to start thinking about which direction are we going, what are we going to encounter en route, what airspace will there be, what, for example, gliding sites or paragliding sites that we're going to have to avoid. And I can also speak to our air traffic here and just inform them which direction we're going. And that allows other aircraft that are in our circuit here to anticipate that we will be taking off pretty shortly. We will be going in a straight line, and it gives them the chance to avoid us and also for me to listen out and find out what other traffic is around, and so we can avoid them as well.
Okay, so you're in the air, you're heading off to a town that maybe you're not overly familiar with. How do you pick your landing site? Obviously, you've got obstructions and trees and cables to worry about. Do you do that from sight yourself, or do you get some kind of briefing before you touch down?
No briefing before we touch down. We do it all visually from the air. We work together as a crew of three, particularly the pilot and the paramedic. The doctor as well provides a really useful eyes out on the right-hand side of the aircraft. So we'll first of all identify where the patient is or where the scene of the accident is, and then I'll orbit the aircraft. And while we do that, we'll be thinking about partly what's happened to the patient, what the mechanism is, and picking up all sorts of useful information about what assets are on scene, but also deciding where the most suitable landing site might be, thinking about access from that landing site to the patient. Then when we've decided on what the most suitable landing site is, we're then looking at that to decide what hazards there are.
The equipment on the helicopter that that you're flying, do you have any special tools that a normal helicopter pilot would have? Have you got the equivalent of a sort of a sat-nav device that gives you any assistance?
It's actually very simple. This helicopter, the MD-902 Explorer, is a really straightforward helicopter. It's perfect for air ambulance. Very quick to start up, very quick to shut down. It's a relatively quiet helicopter. In terms of equipment, we don't fly in cloud, we don't fly at night, so we don't need lots of detailed instrumentation other than the very basic stuff that every aeroplane, every helicopter comes with. We do have a moving map, a GPS system, so not dissimilar to to the sat-nav that you would have in a car. Paramedic who's trained in aviation techniques will draw a line on a map. We use old-fashioned maps, we use A to Zs, we use ordnance survey maps, etc. So they'll draw a line on a map and provide information, and also the paramedic will input the grid reference into the navigation system so that presents a display which is a useful backup.
Louise Rosson, and I'm a critical care paramedic.
You're sitting here basically in the crew room with the crew. Just talk me through the process of a call-out.
As one of the paramedics working on the air ambulance, I also work in the control room on part of my rota, as do my colleagues at the other air ambulances. And we sit in a specialised area in the control room known as the critical care desk, and we sit with a dispatcher and we look through the entire calls, 999 calls coming into the whole region, so the whole of the east of England, and we're sifting through, looking for calls that we as a team normally go to, where we think the patients are going to benefit from critical care, and we can call them back, speak to the crews that are on scene, or if it sounds sort of pretty nasty straight away, we can send out straight away. So when that process happens, this red phone will call here. My colleague who's in the control room today will pass us the details, as Captain Nicky explained. As the pilot's gone out to start the helicopter, I'm plotting a line on the map so I know the heading for the pilot, the time, so the ETA, so the doctor can let the control room know once we've lifted.
My name's Dr. Matt O'Mara. I'm a critical care doctor who's currently undertaking an 8 months convent with Essex and Hertfordshire Air Ambulance.
So if I've got this correct, at every single flight there's the pilot, a paramedic and a doctor. And normally a doctor wouldn't travel in a road ambulance, so this is obviously a very specialist service that you provide.
Yeah, so the enhanced skills that the doctor can bring are really brought home by the fact that we work as a team with both a critical care trained doctor but also a critical care paramedic, and that's reflected in the fact that we train together, work together, in combination with what you've heard from Louise in terms of tasking to specific incidents. What we try and do is focus our efforts on the sickest and the most injured patients who are out on the road, whose needs aren't necessarily going to be able to be met by the statutory ambulance service, and in the UK that involves charity funded air ambulances which are based regionally, and the two that we're working with today here are Essex based at Hulls-Colne and Hertfordshire based at North Weald Airfield.
So presumably the responsibility falls to you to make a decision as to which hospital or facility to go to, is that right? You've got to make that sort of life or death judgment call and then direct the team to head off in that direction, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a team sport, and often I'm actually from the Midlands originally and relatively new to this area, and so of course you look to your paramedical colleagues both on the aircraft but also on the road, who might know where not only the best but the most appropriate at that particular time to get the intervention that patient needs. What we're able to do in this system with the helicopter is both get that patient to the right hospital rather than necessarily the nearest hospital.
Here's the big question. The air ambulance service is a charity. Why is this not built into the standard NHS service?
Well, I think in the UK, this is a line that has emerged because there wasn't a provision for air ambulances, and charities have emerged to very gratefully support the pre-hospital work that we're able to do for that. If you look at other systems such as America or Europe, they are much more mainstream integrated into those countries' healthcare systems, but those healthcare systems are funded in very different ways. And for a national health service that's very efficient in terms of the services it provides for the money it does, it has to make difficult decisions about what's important. And I think the air ambulance world becomes the cherry on the icing of the cake, which you would want absolutely when you have your car crash or your heart attack. You would want the skills that we're able to bring to you to come to bear.
So if you get a chance, go to your local air ambulance website, make a donation and support the excellent work they do.
Yes, definitely.
Hi, I'm Jason Bradbury from The Gadget Show, and you're listening to Frequency Cast.
Thanks for listening to this short feature. If you'd like to hear more from us, our shows are available for free on your computer, on your smartphone, on internet-enabled radios, as a podcast, and also on some radio stations across the UK.
To have a listen to our latest show and for more information, please go to our website. The address?
www.frequencycast.co.uk.
Frequency Cast. Special report. Shutdown complete.